إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we are all aware, our Sharia, our religious law, dictates each and every facet of our personal life and our social interactions. And in today's khutbah, I will examine one of the facets of that social life and cultural interactions that is somewhat of a more light nature. And that is, what does our Sharia say about joking and being humorous with one another within our faith tradition? Believe it or not, even this topic has been discussed in so much detail that wallahi, as I sat down to write this khutbah, I realized that even this one khutbah can be made into two or three khutbahs. But of course, we do not have the time for that. So I will summarize what some of our scholars have said about the Islamic guidelines and requirements, about what our own tradition says, about being humorous within one another, about cracking jokes and lightening up the mood. There are in fact specific treatises and books written by our scholars of Islam about this one topic. And why would they not write books when it is narrated in dozens of ahadith that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly lightened the mood and was humorous and yes, even cracked jokes? Do you know that in Ash-Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, which is the most authentic and the most famous book that describes the characteristics of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Tirmidhi has his famous Sunan. He also has a book called Shama'il. Shama'il, the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has an entire chapter entitled "The Chapter of the Jokes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This is in our most standard, orthodox, mainstream book about the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Write down my statements, write down the ahadith." And Abu Hurairah said, "Ya Rasulullah, but sometimes you joke with us. Sometimes innaka latumazihuna. You're joking with us, meaning do you want me to write down your jokes as well?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held on to his tongue and he said, "Uktub." Write down everything that comes. فَوَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ I swear by the one that there is no God besides him. Nothing comes from here other than the truth. Meaning, even the jokes of the Prophet ﷺ have moral benefit, have wisdom. And today we'll discuss some of them and you will see each and every one of them actually has some wisdom, some benefit to it. Sometimes even theological benefit we learn from the jokes of Rasulullah ﷺ. But the point here, Abu Hurairah radiallahu an wanted to ask, "O Messenger of Allah, you are joking with us so often. Do you want me to write those jokes down as well?" What does that demonstrate? That it was the constant characteristic of Rasulullah ﷺ to be humorous, to be gentle. And that is because being gentle, being humorous is a part of the perfection of akhlaq. It is a part of being the perfect associate and companion. We all know there are those people amongst us, they're always morose, they're always frowning, they're always serious. We don't like being around them. Our Prophet was not like that. Our Prophet Muhammad was the best of the people, was the Sayyid of the children of Adam. And as a perfection, as Anas said, "I never saw anybody smile more than the Prophet." He's always smiling. As a perfection, he would laugh. As his perfection, he would even be humorous and crack jokes. And all of this he did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to legislate unto us that this too is a part and parcel of our religion of Islam. And so many of the humor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrated. And typically, most of the humor, and if not all of it, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use double meanings because he never said a lie. He never, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said a lie. So what were the humor, what was the humor of the Prophet ﷺ? He'd use a phrase, he'd use a word, the meaning that comes to mind is not the meaning that is intended, but both meanings are permissible by the language. And there are so many instances of this. Or at times he would name somebody something as a point of being funny, or as a point of being humorous, or as a point of earning the heart of this person by using a gentle name, a sweet name, that a name that would make the person love the Prophet ﷺ. Anas ibn Malik, the young child, Anas ibn Malik was 7 years old when his mother said that, "I'm going to give you Anas all day long, he'll be your servant." So he gifted, Anas was not a slave, he gifted, the mother gifted the time of Anas, that throughout the day you'll be with the Prophet ﷺ, come home at night to our house. So Anas would spend 10 years with the Prophet ﷺ. And he tells us that at times he was a child, he's 7-8 years old, the Prophet ﷺ would tell him to do something, and he would be going on his way, and children would be playing. So he'd stop to play, and he wouldn't listen. So he would do what every child does. So the next time the Prophet ﷺ gave him a command, he said, "Ya dhal udhunayn, O you of two ears," listen to what I'm about to say to you. He called Anas, "O you of two ears," meaning you didn't listen to me last time, make sure you listen to me this time. Anas says that I had a younger brother who would have a pet of a bird. This bird in Arabic is called Nughair. It's a small little bird with red stripes on it. And this bird fell sick, so the child took it and took it as a pet. He took it as a pet and he would carry with it all the time. And this was a young boy of maybe 4 years old, 5 years old. One day the Prophet ﷺ saw him crying in the corner. So he asked Anas, "What is the matter with your brother?" So he said, "His Nughair died. His little pet died, his little boy." And you know, typically this little boy is not addressed in the audience. I mean, the Prophet wouldn't say anything to him because, you know, he's a 4 or 5 year old boy. So in front of everybody, to make the boy feel so special, to make the boy feel as if he is being paid attention, in front of everybody the Prophet addressed this little child, and he invented for him a kunya. He made for him a kunya, which is not something you do for a 5 year old, that's what you do for an adult, but to make the boy feel special. And he said that famous phrase which was reported in Bukhari, "Ya Aba Umayr, مَا فَعَلَ النُّغَيْرِ." Oh, father of Umayr, this little boy is not the father of anybody. His name is Amr. Ya Aba Umayr, just be jokeful, get some humor. Ya Aba Umayr, what happened to your little bird? So here, it's not quite a joke per se, but it's being somewhat humorous. It's like lightening the moment so that this child feels consoled, so that the child feels, this is Rasulullah ﷺ addressing me in this big audience where Abu Bakr, Umar are sitting, and he's taking time out and smiling at me and saying, "Ya Aba Umayr, ma fa'ala Nughair? Oh Abu Umayr, what happened to your little bird?" In order to calm the child down. And it is also reported that in fact the Prophet ﷺ actually said what we would call jokes. And the famous hadith is in Sahih Bukhari as well, and Abu Dawud, that a man came and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, you called to go out on an expedition, I volunteer. I'm going to join the expedition and I will go with this force. But I don't have any camel. So you will have to give me a camel to ride on." Now, in Arabic, a baby camel is literally called waladun naqa, baby camel. When you want to say a baby camel, there's no word baby. You say waladun naqa. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "I don't have anything to give you other than waladun naqa." Waladun naqa, the child of a camel. And the man said, "O Messenger of Allah, what will a baby camel do for me?" Because once you understand from waladun naqa is a baby. And the Prophet ﷺ said, wasn't every camel born by the previous camel? Isn't every child waladun naqa? So waladun naqa, linguistically it means that the offspring of a camel. But it's understood to mean the baby of a camel. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, "I only have a baby camel, waladun naqa," he understood a little camel. And the Prophet ﷺ then joked with him, said, "And what is a camel except the child of another camel? Isn't every child waladun naqa? Isn't every camel waladun naqa?" And of course, there's the very famous story that we've all heard of growing up. And it is an authentic hadith. It's an authentic hadith that when the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the Sahaba, an old lady hobbles up and she says, "Ya Rasulullah, make dua that Allah causes me to enter Jannah. Make dua that Allah causes me to enter Jannah." And you know, you see this sweet old lady, you see this lady, you know she has such a sweetheart, whatnot. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to cheer her up. How did he cheer her up? By saying something that was true and yet humorous. It was true, and yet it was a joke. He says, Oh, mother, oh aunt, oh lady, oh fulan, haven't you heard? Old ladies will not enter Jannah. Haven't you heard? Didn't somebody teach you this? Old ladies shall not enter Jannah. So the hadith says, فَوَلْوَلَتْ. You know, she started like raising her voice. What? What's going to happen now? How am I going to enter Jannah? And so the Prophet ﷺ said, didn't you read what Allah says in the Quran? إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبْكَارًا عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا. We shall bring them back and recreate them. إِنَّا شَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً. And we will bring them back to be young, beautiful maidens. Oh fulana, oh ummi fulana. Allah Azza wa Jal will not cause you to enter Jannah as an old lady. You will come back to being at the prime of your youth, at the most youthful, the most beautiful. Then Allah will cause you to enter Jannah. Now, imagine if the Prophet ﷺ didn't say this humorous. He just went straight to the point. You will enter Jannah. It's not as good. It's not as uplifting. Even she, the happiness she would feel after the joke, is much more than if the Prophet ﷺ simply said that you shall enter Jannah. Rather than saying you're going to enter Jannah, he actually was humorous with her. And she said, all ladies don't enter Jannah. And then gave her the good news, you shall enter Jannah as a beautiful young lady, as you were. That's how you're going to enter Jannah. So this actually hadith demonstrates for us the purpose of the humor of the Prophet ﷺ. That it is meant to make a point, to uplift a cheerful spirit, to make people feel better. And this is a part and parcel of our religion, that we're supposed to cheer people up. We're supposed to uplift the spirits. And at times, the best way to do that is through humor. It is narrated that a woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, who is your husband? She said, so-and-so. And the Prophet wanted to, basically what we would call play a joke, but we say that he wanted to be humorous with the husband. So he said, oh, I know your husband. He is the one who has a whiteness in his eye. Now the Arabic whiteness in his eye means a disease that causes the eye to go yellowish, okay? And the Arabs say, bayad fil ayn. This is something to do with a sickness, right? And the lady became shocked. No, that's not my husband. That's not the one. My husband's fine. And the Prophet said, no, I'm positive. He is the one that has the sickness, bayad fi ayn. She understood sickness, but it's not sickness. So she went back home because she thinks if the Prophet says this, he must be sick. And she began looking at her husband carefully, staring into his eyes. And the husband says, what's the matter with you? Why are you looking at me like this? So she said, the Prophet said that you have a sickness, bayad fi ayni. You have a sickness in your eye. And the husband understood, because obviously he understands what's going on. They have that relationship together. And he said, ya ummi fulana, don't you see there's more whiteness in my eye than darkness, right? Meaning in his eyes, there's a whiteness, the whiteness of the eye. That's what the Prophet is talking about. Once again, there is the feeling. Now imagine how special the husband would feel. Imagine that unique bond that the husband will feel, that the Prophet is making me laugh in this manner. This is the purpose of Islamic humor. This is why we are supposed to be gentle. We're supposed to be easygoing. We're supposed to bring happiness unto others. And the companions as well, in fact, would return back the humor to the Prophet when it was appropriate to do so, in the most appropriate manner. When they understood that the Prophet is joking with them, at times they would be humorous back. Ultimate respect even in the humor. Hadith narrated that the Prophet visited Suhaib al-Rumi, the Roman. He was the Roman convert to Islam, Suhaib al-Rumi. And Suhaib was very sick and he was not coming to the masjid. And so we expected him to be on his bed, completely moaning and groaning. When they came in, they found that he's sitting upright and he's eating dates. But his sickness was there. One of his eyes was swollen. So the Prophet ﷺ joked with him and said, you are sick. Your eyes are swollen and yet here you are eating dates. Meaning, we have heard you're so sick, but now you're enjoying life, right? So he's being humorous. And you could see by the expression that the Prophet is being humorous. And he said, your eye is swollen up and you're still eating dates. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm using my other eye to eat. I'm looking at the other eye. I'm using this eye as I pick the dates up to eat. Now this is, again, imagine being Suhaib. Just imagine the feeling, the relationship with the Prophet ﷺ, right? That he's cracking a joke at with me. And he's then responding back, Ya Rasulullah, it's the other, I'm using this one. This one's swollen, I can still see with this one. That's what I'm eating with. And so again, the point being, all of this demonstrates that it is a part and parcel of our religion to bring this happiness unto others. In fact, it's not just words. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even went beyond just words. Humor at times involves playing around with other people. At times involves literally using your hands or doing things. And we have one of the interesting narrations here as well, that our Prophet ﷺ would play and basically be jovial with the little children. Now we know this, of course, from many ahadith, that he was the kindest to children. One of the companions who died, the very last of the companions, or one of the last. So he died around 100 Hijrah. Imagine 100 Hijrah, right? He says, and he of course saw the Prophet ﷺ as a little child. He says, I still remember when the Prophet ﷺ came to our house and to our neighborhood, that he played with me and he threw some water from the glass that he had into my face. That he sprinkled some water onto my face. Now this is like, you know, you're teasing little children, you're just playing with them. So the child now becomes a Sahabi, he's now 90 years old. Actually he was 100 or something when he passed away. Says, I still remember the Prophet ﷺ coming and playing with me and throwing water from the mug onto my face. So again, this is like teasing the child, running around with the child. So the fact the Prophet ﷺ is even being what we would call basically playful with the children. And this is again well reported. It is narrated that, and this hadith is in Bukhari by the way, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq came to visit his daughter Aisha. And the Prophet ﷺ was there. And from outside, he hears Aisha raising her voice at some irritation. I mean, husbands and wives, doesn't matter who they are, right? Wives are wives and husbands are husbands, right? So Aisha is raising her voice and the Prophet ﷺ is quiet. Abu Bakr becomes enraged. He says, allow me in. So they let him in. And he begins rebuking Aisha. How dare you raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet ﷺ? How dare you say... And he kept on going and going. And he got in front of Aisha. And his hand began going up and down, such that Aisha felt he might even strike me. This is the father feeling anger, that how dare you do this in front of the Prophet ﷺ? When it became very tense, the Prophet ﷺ put his body in between. And he put his hands to protect Aisha. So that Abu Bakr then eventually left. Then he said to Aisha, they've just been having, not an argument, but you get the point, back and forth. He says to Aisha, don't you see how I defended you from that man? Now this is humorous, we all get it. We all get it. Every husband here sees he's playing with Aisha. Don't you see how I defended you from that man, your own father? Meaning, how could you be yelling at me and I'm the one defending you from Abu Bakr? And so many other incidents that take place. We have the story of Aisha. Again, Aisha radiallahu anha was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Sauda, and of course Sauda was the eldest of the wives of the Prophet, and Aisha is of course the youngest. And Sauda visited, and Aisha had cooked some food. Actually was a very, what would be considered to be an expensive dish, because there was meat in it. So when you have meat at that time, it's a very big thing. And it's called khazir. It's a meat dish with bread type of stuff in it. So Sauda says, I don't want to eat. Aisha felt she's not eating because I cooked it. That she's not eating because she doesn't trust my cooking. Or she doesn't think my cooking is good. So she said, Wallahi la ta'kulina, Wallahi you're going to eat it. And she said, Wallahi I'm not going to eat it. And the Prophet was sitting in the middle. Aisha said, you're going to eat it or I'm going to put it into your mouth. She's getting angry now. She feels insulted that you've come to my house, I'm cooking food for you, and you know, between the co-wives, maybe this is even more so than it otherwise. So she feels something, tension, like, why aren't you eating? So Sauda says, I'm not going to eat. So Aisha literally takes some food and puts it on her mouth. Puts it on her mouth. And the Prophet ﷺ is not interfering. When this happens, Sauda loses her temper. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's sitting with his legs cross-legged, right? When he sees that Sauda is going to respond, he lifts one knee up. And he says, go ahead, your turn now. So Sauda literally takes the food and puts it on Aisha's face in anger. And the Prophet ﷺ is laughing at what is going on. Now the point again is that he is allowing this humor. This is a part of life. It happens. This is the reality that this type of relationship, again, our Prophet ﷺ is the ultimate role model. And of course, my all-time favorite story, and everybody loves this story when they hear it. It is such a sweet and beautiful story, and it demonstrates the perfection of the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ, is regarding that Sahabi who was actually not from Medina. He was a Bedouin. He didn't live in Medina. He was a Bedouin. He was from the A'rab. But he was of the righteous A'rab. And his name was Zahir. His name was Zahir. And he would come to Medina and always gift the Prophet ﷺ something, and the Prophet ﷺ would gift him back. They had a very good friendship together. But Zahir was mocked by the other people. The other people made fun of him. He was short and they said he was ugly looking, and they said he was this and that. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't care about this. He liked him a lot. The Prophet ﷺ had a good relationship with him. One day the Prophet ﷺ is walking in the suq, and he sees Zahir, and he hasn't seen him for a long time. And Zahir has not yet come to the masjid. He has to sell some merchandise, then he's going to come to the masjid. So the Prophet is pleasantly surprised that he is seeing Zahir. So he walks from behind Zahir, not informing him that he has seen him. And he's in the souq. Everybody's buying and selling, saying, who's going to buy, who's going to purchase? In those days, everybody would have to scream, I have this, I have that, purchase this. So the Prophet held on to him from the back. I mean, this is unbelievable when you think about it. He is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is Zahir. You know, we tried our best, the scholars, myself, we tried our best to look up about Zahir. We only know 3 or 4 things about him. He's not one of the big famous Sahaba. He's not like Abu Bakr and Umar. He doesn't have a long history of qital and jihad. We don't know much about him. But for some reason, there's something in his akhlaq, something in him. The Prophet really loves Zahir. And so he held on to Zahir from behind, and he holds onto him like this. And then in the middle of the souq, he says, who is going to purchase this abd from me? You all get the double meaning, abd here. Who's going to purchase this abd? Now, of course, in the souq, the abd here would mean a slave. But when he is saying it, it means the worshipper of Allah. And Zahir is a worshipper of Allah, right? Who's going to purchase this abd from me? This is what we would call a humorous prank. And it is our Prophet ﷺ doing it. Man yashtari hadha al-abd minni. And Zahir becomes angry. Who is this playing this prank? Who is this? Because, I mean, who wouldn't be irritated? Then he sees who it is. What happens? The narrator says, Zahir just melted and became limp, so that he could feel, his back could feel the skin of the Prophet ﷺ, and that he could get the barakah from the Prophet ﷺ as much as possible. Immediately, he limped so that he could feel the blessed jasad of the Prophet ﷺ. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, you want to sell me, but I'm going to come for a cheap price. What are you going to get for me? Right? I'm going to be, and the reason he's making fun of himself, because the people say bad things about him. You know how sometimes cruel people are, and they would make fun of him for his expression or his facial features or whatever. They would say that he's not a handsome man. He's whatnot. And the Prophet ﷺ said, rather, you are very expensive in the eyes of Allah. إِنَّكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَغَالٍ. You are very expensive in the eyes of Allah. Now, this incident, if it doesn't humanize the Prophet ﷺ, what will? If it doesn't show us his perfection of akhlaq, then what will? And that is why when our Prophet ﷺ established this as a reality, then it is not surprising that we find the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, the great Imams, every single Imam, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik and whatnot, we find from them as well this type of humor. Even in their fiqh, we find it here and there when they give fatawa. And again, much can be said, time does not allow us to do so. We find the same type of humorousness and gentleness in the greatest scholars of Islam. And in fact, many are the quotations from our scholars that it is a part of being a gentleman. It is a part of being a good Muslim, that there is an element of humor, an element of joking and whatnot. And that is why even some of the most classical, authentic books of even political science, of being a ruler and leader, Al-Mawardi is a great scholar of medieval Islam, and he has books about how to be a leader and how to, he has sections in it, the etiquettes of joking. Ibn Hazm, Ibn Hibban, the great scholar of Hadith, Ibn al-Jawzi, all of these scholars, they actually wrote treatises. In our times, we would call them joke books. They didn't have the genre back then, but they said the stories of foolish people. Or they said that, incidents of humor. So they're having entire treatises. These are printed. I have most of them at home, by the way. They are printed. They are available. Great scholars, Ibn Hazm, Ibn al-Jawzi, Ibn Hibban. These are of the most authentic, serious scholars of Islam. But we see another side of theirs. And therefore, brothers and sisters, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being humorous, with being gentle, with being jokeful. But there are conditions. What are those conditions? Very quickly, number one, there cannot be blatant lying. We are not allowed to lie or to deceive. And by lying, what we mean here is to say something that is an intentional lie. You invent a fabrication about Ahmed, about Mustafa, about Zainab, and you just say something that is completely untrue. And the person doesn't even realize that, oh, and then you say, oh, I was just kidding with you. No, it doesn't work that way. And by the way, as for the jokes that we say, the standard jokes, there was a man or there was a rabbi, a priest, an imam, that type of stuff, it's not quite lying because you know that it is a fable. So that's not covered in the hadith. But what we mean is you intentionally lie about somebody and the other person doesn't realize. And then you say, oh, I was just joking. This is not allowed in our religion. As well, obviously it goes without saying that no joke can have anything that is haram inside of it, of backbiting, of slander, of lewdness, of vulgarity. This is not of the akhlaq of our religion. So we cannot have anything, and it goes without saying that nothing that is humorous can have something intrinsically haram in it. As well, if the joke involves a prank or something of this nature, then it is not allowed to bring about terror upon a person. You cannot terrify a person. Our Prophet ﷺ said in hadith is in Abu Dawud, it is not allowed for a believer to bring fear into the heart of another believer. So even as a joke or as a prank, you cannot do something that will terrify the person. That is not something that is a part of our religion. And as well of the conditions that our scholars mention, that look at all of the incidents I said to you of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Every one of them, the end result was the person felt closer to Rasulullah. The person felt better camaraderie. The person felt genuine ukhuwah. The person was cheered up. So if the joke offends, if the joke makes the person feel bad, if you have denigrated the person, then no, this isn't funny. And it is not something the Sharia allows. Jokes and humor should cheer people up, bring happiness to them, not make them feel bad. So once you've insulted somebody, don't say, oh, it was only a joke. If the person feels insulted, you are at fault, not the other person. And at times it is possible that you say something and you intend it as a positive joke. But the person, you overestimated, you made a mistake, and the person is offended. In this situation, Islamically, it's your fault. You have to apologize. And don't say, oh, take a joke, brother. No, you're the one who went beyond the bounds and sent something that was a gray area. And the other person was offended. So it is your responsibility to clear up that misunderstanding. And of the etiquettes as well, of being humorous and joking, is that it is done in the appropriate manner at the right time and place. To go to extremes, to go too much, is something that obviously goes against the etiquettes of Islam. Our Prophet ﷺ said, I warn you against excessive laughing. Laughing too much. And he didn't say, I warn you against laughing. Our Prophet ﷺ laughed. Excessive laughing, all the time, joking, laughing, all the time. Because we have something serious to us, the worship of Allah. Jokes, as the scholars say, and this is an Arabic tradition and an Arabic phrase and an English phrase. Jokes are like salt to one's food. This is in Arabic and in English. Jokes are like salt to one's food. You add it to the right amount, perfect. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Humor has its place. When you go beyond the bounds, then you lose the respect of the people. And your status is demeaned. And you will end up offending people. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I warn you against excessive laughing, for excessive laughing makes the heart hard. And the final condition, is that, and the most important really, is that the joke not involve anything that is denigrating to Allah and His Messenger, to the religion of Islam. It is not just haram, it is kufr to joke about Allah and His Messenger. It's not just a sin, it is kufr, because a heart that understands who is Allah and who is Rasulullah ﷺ can never then be sarcastic against them. We in our tradition, in our religion, there is no such thing as cracking humor against Allah, making fun of the Messenger ﷺ. This is not Islam. This can only come from a heart that doesn't understand what it means to be sacred, what it means to be to have sanctity. We do not joke about our mother. We do not joke about the kindness or the akhlaq or the purity of our mother. Wallahi, Allah and His Messenger deserve infinitely more respect and love than our parents do. There are things we do not joke about, and of them are that which is of the sha'air, of the main points of this religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to follow in the beautiful footsteps, in the genuine humor, in the simple and the beautiful jokes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and enjoy his company and his humor in the akhirah. بارك الله لكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من آيات والذكر الحكيم أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين بكل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, somebody might ask, why give an entire khutbah about this topic? And the response, first and foremost, because it is relevant. Because we all need to know the Islamic rulings about this topic. Secondly, because when we hear these stories about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then our iman in him, our love for him, our respect in him, our desire to be with him increases. And this is one of the reasons why our classical ulama as well wrote about this topic. And thirdly, and lastly, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day of Eid, when there was merriment going on, when some of the Sahaba had some halal entertainment going on, some of the stricter of the Sahaba, Umar ibn Khattab, became like angry, like, why is this happening? How can you do this in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Oh Umar, let them. Let them do what they're doing. Let the people know that there is fusha in our religion. There is entertainment. There is laxity in our religion. Our religion isn't just all the time serious and you have a stern face and it's strict. No, you need some humor, some entertainment, some that is halal. So this hadith, let the people know that there is some leeway in our religion, that our religion isn't just everything haram, everything this and that. Human nature, you need a little bit of entertainment, but keep it a little bit. Don't make entertainment the ultimate goal, which unfortunately is the reality of many people around us, that entertainment is their main goal in life. No, entertainment is like, again, salt, and a part of that is joking and humor. So let the people know, especially at times like this, let the people understand our religion is not all about strictness and haram and everything forbidden. No, there is leeway and it is halal to enjoy life, but it must be done within the limits of Islam. And that is one of the main purposes of having an entire khutbah about this topic. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tada'na fi hadha al-yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. Rabbana innaka ra'uf الرحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروا يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة.